Here's a question. Alex Barbie came in on Saturday with his picks. Should we not count his Thursday pick?
No, right, definitely.
You can't.
No, we can't.
Okay. And you don't know whether he picked right or wrong, so you're just saying no, period.
Yeah, I mean, if the picks came in after the game, you can't count that.
Got it. All right. I agree. I just wanted to make sure.
And if he picked wrong, he's even dumber.
We've all heard of Rudolph and his shiny nose, and we all know Frosty, who's made out of snow. But all of those stories seem kind of gay, 'cause we all know who brightens up our holiday.
Mr. Hanky, the Christmas poo,
small and brown, he comes from you.
Sit on the toilet, here he comes,
squeezing tween your festive buns. A present from down below, spreading joy with a howdy,
howdy ho.
He's seen the love inside of you, 'cause he's a piece of poo. Sometimes he's nutty, sometimes he's corny, he can be brown or greenish brown. But if you eat fiber on Christmas Eve, he might come to your town.
Mr. Hanky, the Christmas poo,
he loves me, I love you, therefore vicariously he loves you.
I can make a Mr. Hanky too.
Well, Kyle, where is he? He's coming. Come on, dude, push.
What's up, Boudat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my junk scale rating tonight is, I'm going to go with at least a 3. If I'm like Jason, I'm underrating myself. But yeah, I've had a couple of rum, and I found Cran Tangerine Ocean Spray makes this. I had it 10 years ago, and then I've looked in every grocery store for 10 years. I've been looking for it, and I could never find it. And lo and behold, last night I did finally find it. And nothing's better than a little rum and Cran Tangerine, or vodka and Cran Tangerine. So I had about 4 of those, and now I'm drinking beer for the show. So, let's get on with it. Woe is us. Woe is us.
That's all you need to know about this 2014 Saints season is that Jeff is drinking Cran Tangerine.
It's like cranberry and orange juice. Calm down. The Saints couldn't live up to even the smallest of expectations for this season. They were inconsistent, uninspired, immature, and irresponsible. We barely got any answers, and the few answers that we did get, there were no solutions provided. But it could all have been swept under the rug if the good Saints would have just shown up for even half the game against the Falcons. But in an unexpected turn of events, the defense actually showed up, and it was the offense that failed to produce anything worthy of respect, minus a single drive late in the fourth quarter. Now, the Saints are going to fade away into irrelevancy for 2014, which may actually be the best thing for them, so that they can lick their wounds, make their necessary adjustments in the offseason, and become contenders again next year. The worst thing about the final nail in this pitiful season is that it was the fucking Falcons who delivered the kill shot. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and let's just find out what kind of show it's going to be. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am going to go with a 2, as in 2 times the Saints lost to the Falcons this year.
Oh.
I mean, it's just, I was almost just more in shock. The fact that, yeah, we lost, not in the playoffs, blah, blah, but the fact of getting swept by the Falcons really just, it hurt. It really hurt. But I'm going with the 2. I didn't plan on drinking tonight, but I had a couple of glasses of wine with dinner, and I got a drink now, but, I mean, that's it. I'm not... Last week, I had enough level for 3 shows, so...
All right. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number? Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number? Damon, welcome to the show. Are you here?
I would say a 3.5.
Yeah, you found your mute button, did you?
I was answering you.
Jeez. Damon gets a number, folks, and he can't work his Skype.
I've had four ponies, and I'm on my second shot of rum chata.
Oh, what's up with the rum chata?
Yeah, I don't know.
You were saving that for us.
I was, but y'all don't want to get together. I mean, I don't know.
We can't get together till the Saints win. So
yeah, so I'm not sure. I might have a pretty good number at the end of the show. This is dangerous, folks.
Oh God! Oh.
Oh yeah, yeah. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, Jason's on the edit machine.
No, I'm just gonna sit back and enjoy.
Yeah.
I talked enough last week.
No, I'm saying you're gonna enjoy editing Damon this week.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so let's get started with do a little From the Dome. This was another one of those rare games where all three of us were in the Superdome at the same time. Damon, I thought you were going to meet us at some point, but you went MIA on the group text. So I don't know what you did, but me and this was. Oh, let me back up. This was the first game that my children ever went to, and fuck the Falcons for ruining that experience for them as well.
Now they're gonna have nightmares,
right? So, but no, I will say they were very impressed and excited about how many people. When we walked into the Champion Square, they were like, because we kept telling them there's going to be 100,000 people at the game with you. Blah, blah, blah. So we get into the Champion Square, they were like, is that 100,000 people? Like, no, not yet. But their favorite part was obviously the player introductions that they turned the lights down. That was the first time.
That was the first, turning all the lights off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they enjoyed that, and then, of course, the Jalen Saunders kick return, and then after that it was just depressing for the rest of the game. But, you know, they had cotton candy and popcorn and hot dogs and, all, you know, anything they wanted.
Well, I mean, it was a good start to the morning. I went and had breakfast, met up with Fuck the Falcons, who was in town for the game. So, I mean, it was like, you know, walking down from there to the dome. I just miss having him just yelling on the walk to the games.
Obscenities.
Just whatever. Whatever came to his mind. You realize you miss it when, like, I haven't heard that in a long time. Just being around, because, like, he'll do all the shit talking, you just follow and laugh and
yeah,
and enjoy yourself.
We didn't earn, like, we had to.
Who cares? Who cares? This is before the game. Who cares?
I don't know, but, yeah.
Who cares? All right?
Well,
I could lie. It was a fun morning. And,
right, you're right.
You know, I was getting helped get pumped up for the game.
And then the game started.
Well, hey, when the game started, great. First play of the game, boom. Right. You know, we're up now 20 seconds into the game, we're up 7-0, and I'm thinking, well, okay then, let's do this. Come on.
It's going to be a glorious fucking day, right?
Right.
Nope. Thank you.
So, and then we met up with you and the Renee, and we took some pictures with the boys in front of the Gleason statue. Told them the story of Gleason.
Jeff even showed him again the YouTube clip.
Yeah.
And then right outside.
That's right. So that was pretty cool. Damon, what'd you do?
Well, my buddy Doug did come with me to make the last game of the year, so I have to pick him up and hair a hand, and it's always a pain in the ass to deal with him.
Does he listen to the show?
No.
Okay. So go on with the pain in the ass that he is.
Well, he's still a pain in the ass if he lives in or not, you know. Yeah, so I mean, so that was it. So it just took us a little, you know, took us a little longer to get into the dome. And I mean, you know, it was just basically where we parked and walked right to the dome. You know, I mean, we were running late. He had.
Did you make it in time for the player introductions? Did you?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It was cool. It was cool, and I don't remember ever.
I remember them doing it. At some, I know they didn't do it in the other two games that I went to this year, but I remember them doing it at some point in my life. I've seen it before.
Yeah, they have done. I've definitely been there when they've turned all the lights on off in the dome.
Yeah. So anyway, let's move in ahead to game recap.
Well, I tell you what, maybe we'll have ourselves a little Christmas right here.
Come on, everyone, gather round. String up the lights and light up the tree. We're gonna make some revelry. Spirits are high, so I can tell it's Christmas time in hell. Demons are nicer as you pass them by. There's lots of demon toys to buy. The snow is falling and all is well. It's Christmas time in hell. There goes Jeffrey Dahmer with a festive Christmas ham. After he has sex with it, he'll eat up all he can. And there goes John F. Kennedy, caroling with his son.
Reunited for the holidays, God bless us everyone. Everybody has a happy glow, let's dance in blood and pretend it's snow.
Even Mao Zedong is under the spell,
it's Christmas time in hell.
So, I mean, as we said in From the Dome, the opening kickoff, Jalen Saunders proves that he should be kept, if for nothing else than just for a kick returner. Getting it down to the one, Saints score, and then from there on, it was just bad news.
Just couldn't get anything done against a defense that's worse than ours.
That is much worse than ours.
Does that speak to how bad the offensive line... A bad offensive line riddled by injury on top of it, because Terron Armstead was out, right? Didn't Bryce Harris start for Armstead?
Yeah, he did, but, I mean, all of them. It's not just one. Even if Armstead's good, you still got Goodwin, who they trotted out again at center. And even both guards, not just Nubs, but, I mean, Evans, too. Evans just looks, he looks done. It's amazing to me how bad they all look. Week in and week out, we don't understand why he keeps trotting Goodwin out there. He's got whatever reason he has, but we just don't know.
That, I mean, look, that's one of the things. Watching the game, and we have a lot of holes that we didn't think we had coming into the season. But offensive line is the biggest. Breeze really had no time to sit in the pocket. It was just so frustrating watching it, how they were getting pressure. Streif just gets blown up almost every single play, man.
Is he done?
Oh, God, yeah, he's done. Goodwin's done. Streif is done.
The only one who's not is Armstead, who didn't even play this week. I mean,
right.
To me, there's going to have to be...
Are they just tired?
They're old, man. This is Jari Evans' ninth year in the league. He's old.
Right.
It's Goodwin's 13th year.
I mean, again, exactly.
Streif, how long? Nine?
Right, I mean, all of them. It's an aging offensive line. I mean, it's clear. Yeah. Other than Armstead, there's no... And, you know...
To rebuild an offensive line, I mean, is it possible that we're looking at a 2-3 year?
Sure. When, I mean, who knows? I mean, you don't know how long it's going to take. If they hit on a draft pick, I can plug them in like they did with Evans, like they did with Nix. But, I mean, who knows? And they certainly have improved over the last handful of years that they've been able to draft well.
I'm just saying that like, the scarier part of it is you can't replace them all at once.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
I mean,
fuck.
Yeah, you can't replace them all.
We really fucked ourselves.
Well, there's going to be a lot of decisions made. A lot of changes are going to have to be made because clearly this group can't get it done.
Well, look, I
remember we're in game recap. We're not at postseason.
No. So you know, like you said, it was just frustrating. We couldn't get anything done. We moved the ball up and down the field. Look, I mean, it was. I'm going to say it was sort of a boring game. We all know. I guess the most exciting or memorable part was Jimmy Graham's screw job on the goal line.
Oh.
Look, and folks, I'll talk about that. That is in no way, shape, or form the reason we lost. Not whatsoever. But the play still does piss me off that you can't get the call correctly.
On
the field or with instant fucking replay. That pisses me off. You know, God damn, if not like we're fucking losing by enough, you have to be incompetent on top of it? Really? I mean, the whole fucking dome was just livid.
I was genuinely surprised that people didn't throw shit on the field after that. I seriously considered it, and I could have. I was.
But then you're like, you can't let your two kids.
I couldn't do it right. My kids were there. But if my kids weren't there, I think I would have thrown whatever
I don't know.
In my hand on the field. I don't care if I was the only guy. I wanted to throw something on the field. I was disgusted. I could not believe that happened. And, you know what? I was actually a little disappointed in the dome that they booed for maybe 10 seconds and then, okay, move on.
What can you do? The frustration. I mean, and that's just it, Jeff. I mean, what can you do? You throw stuff on the field and you look like Philly
fans.
You
look like you're the asshole.
Exactly. You look like Philly fans and everything. No. That's the truth.
I mean, know. So, and then look, I restrain.
You really have no way to retaliate.
But I can
boost
the next four plays in a row.
Yeah. It would just.
You know, just
the fact. We could even on the Minitron, we could see that he crossed.
Well. Here's
and they claim that there's not, there has to be indisputable evidence that it was a technical.
Well, here's my point. It's either one or two things. Either his progress is stopped.
But you can't change that on the review.
But.
Okay, they didn't call it.
Well, you know what? So, we fucked up, but we can't call it. Is that the.
Yes.
Well, then
yes.
There needs to be a much better system in play. Because that was just horrific, horrific.
You are correct. I mean, I'm not arguing with you, but you cannot. The replay, the call on the field was not. They didn't.
Right.
Call on the field was the fumble. When you look at the replay, you can't come back and say even like guys, even though we can't tell it's a first down, forward progress was. You can't change it to a forward progress stop. That's just not the way the rule's written. The problem I have is I don't understand how you can claim that it's not indisputable. The nose of the first bubble of the ball has to cross the first white blade of grass, right, to be a touchdown. I think half the football, you could tell, was over the line. Half of Jimmy's fucking body was over the line. One foot was in the end zone. 1 foot wasn't.
That's just a horrific call, incompetence all the way around by the NFL officiating. Just incompetent.
Good God. And we have an example of more incompetency later on in the show. Not in the Saints game, but in a, have you seen this? Have you heard about this segment? I'm looking for an old tweet that came in after that call. I think it was Neil. I want to give proper credit. That's why. But go on.
Yeah, but like the call to, especially with the overturn there, and then Saint the defense holds, and then Saints come back and score, and you're just thinking, well, we should be up by a point right now after that,
right?
You know, after the bullshit.
Yeah,
no, we did hold them to three and out, and then came back and scored in the next drive. So it almost like it, but it was the time that was taken off the clock in that progress. Right. Or that process. It was James Todd at Jimbo_Rants, a new Twitterer to us. He tweeted right after that, "Nice phone call, Roger Goodell, you fuckhead." So he definitely deserves to be called out on the show for that.
Well, I mean, look, that's fun as Saints fan to still shit on Goodell. But, but obviously, I mean, it was nothing, the NFL or he did or nothing like that. They have no vendetta against the Saints. I mean,
yeah, but it's fun to use that.
But it is fun. No, it is fun to use.
Now, one thing I texted to you guys at one point, y'all were pretty silent on your text during the game, but third down conversions, there was a period where it just seemed like we couldn't stop them on third down, which seems to be a kind of a tradition of the last like four or five games.
Well, exactly.
But when you and I texted to you guys like, can we get at least one freaking stop on a third down? But then when you go back and you look at the box score on the whole game, we did better on third down conversions than they did. I mean, they were 46%, 7 for 15, and we were 7 for 14. I mean, so essentially the same, actually.
Look, the defense came to play.
Yeah, it's just we let them do stuff at the.
Well, we didn't get any pressure.
Right.
We couldn't get any pressure. Zero sacks.
Zero sacks. 42 dropbacks for shit pants.
I guess, and they have a shaky offensive line.
Oh,
you know?
Right. Well, so do we. But 42 dropbacks.
For the new 42 dropbacks
by Shitpants, and they touched him twice, zero sacks. Unacceptable. And you know, you say the defense came to play. You're right. Look, early in the early part of the game, we kept them to field goals and held them out right before halftime. And you're right. Look, the Glory Day Saints, they would have jumped on such a lead by that time. It'd have been 21-6. And
right.
you limit what the other team can do all of a sudden, you know.
They held them to, you think,
20 points. They held them to 20 points.
You know, you figure you can hold Atlanta to that, then you should have a shot.
Yeah, but you'd think so.
The worst defense in the NFL against the fifth best offense, yeah.
Well, that's what I was feeling the whole first half. Come out 7-0, and then offense kind of stalls, but defense played okay, and you're just thinking the Saints should be up right now. They should be up, you know, at least by a touchdown, if not more right now. They just couldn't.
Yeah, well, it goes back to what I said. They couldn't do anything. They could not take advantage of Atlanta's own miscues and the help the defense was giving them.
You know what bothers me more is, Damon, I know you listen to Sean Payton's post-game press conferences. Jason, I'm not sure if you listen to him or not. I'm sure you do on the way home. But he said, so they asked him about the defense. Like, did Atlanta do anything defensively that you weren't prepared for? Or that it's kind of, I couldn't hear the exact question, but Payton's answer was pretty much like, no, they ran, again, I'm paraphrasing, but it was pretty much they ran a standard man-to-man defense. They didn't do anything exotic. They didn't disguise it much. They just, it's like they beat us straight up.
Well, and if you noticed, right, they weren't blitzing. Look, they – and it's not Atlanta. Atlanta sucks. Atlanta's actually the worst defense in the NFL. We're the second worst defense in the NFL. But the difference, we're one of the worst offensive in the NFL.
No, we're not.
No, one of the worst offensive lines. One of the
there
worst,
you go.
That's what I meant to say. One of the worst offensive lines where they're rushing for getting pressure. I don't care who it is, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady –
yep.
Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Montana, you get my point.
Yep.
With a defender in their face rushing them, they're going to throw bad passes. And actually, Matty Shitpants threw a lot of bad passes to receivers that were open.
Really?
You know? Oh, yeah.
Because he only missed 10.
Well, and five of those, they should have been caught, too.
Okay, that's not a lot, though. I mean, relative to how many he threw. Because I had a different perspective. My thought was, wow, he's completing almost everything he throws. Can he please miss one?
Yeah, I mean, I noticed.
He had time. Your point proven. Right. It was the opposite of what was happening on our end. They were getting pressure on Brees, so he was throwing bad, poorly, and receivers didn't have time to get open. On the other side of the ball, we couldn't get pressure, giving Matty Shitpants enough time to just sit back and wait for his receivers to get open, and he just threw the open ball. And guess what? Against that secondary, it doesn't take long for your receiver, for Julio Jones to get open.
No, not at all. Yeah. Well, and once again, folks, once again, and trust me, this is difficult to see watching on television, all right? But once again, P. Roblem was targeted every pass play. P. Roblem on third and longs, they went toward his side of the field. You know, they were going to the slot.
Hopefully, his P. Roblem next year will be finding a team to play for. You see what I did there?
I see that.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
No. Thing I want to bring attention to, Damon, you did mention the word defensive line, getting pressure. Somebody did. Cam Jordan had zero tackles this entire game and one assist. That was his stat line. Zero tackles, one assist. I'm sorry. I like Cam Jordan. I have nothing personal against the guy, but he has been ineffective all year. I mean, Junior Gillette's mouth might get him in trouble, but at least that motherfucker shows up.
Sometimes.
Granted, yeah, he had two tackles. But I don't know. Something's wrong with Cam Jordan. I don't know.
He's definitely had a shitty year, for sure. I mean, he's supposed to be one of the linchpins.
Right. Defensive line can't get pressure. If Junior Gillette's doing the best he can with what he's got working, it falls down to two other guys, right? Akeem Hicks or Cam Jordan.
Well, you need the
John Jenkins.
Well, yeah, you need production from everywhere. It's
right.
Well, you know, fire fucking Bill Johnson. He ain't doing a good job.
No.
Bill Johnson.
No, well, again, I mean, you know, I definitely believe there are a lot of assistant coaches that we need to get rid of. Bill, again, we've never had a very dominant defensive line in the Sean Payton era, just period. Special teams, again, I've been pounding on this all season.
Mm-hmm.
Special teams are not special.
Hey, guess what? The cat's out of the bag. It seems like everyone on every message board, every call, I mean, people are calling for Greg McMahon's head.
Well, of course they are. They listen to the show. They know fucking genius when they hear it. They don't need these. Our listeners aren't stupid. They listen for a reason.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they don't listen to Jason very much. But you know, when I say something, they know it's important.
Jeez.
They understand what's going on. Jason, they're kind of like, eh.
Jason's got his fan.
They just laugh at me, that's all.
Right. Every once in a while, Jason might have a good point. Maybe.
Oh, gee.
But not very often.
Well, somebody's got to inject some humor into the show.
Yeah, that's more good points than I make, Jason, don't you?
Well, yeah, you're just fucking.
Oh, God.
I'm the Cam Jordan of the group.
Right. We ain't seen you since week six.
All right. Back to, all right. All right, so third down conversion we talked about.
But something about the dome, they didn't use the siren.
Right.
The old third down siren.
I noticed that. Or it's like maybe we couldn't hear it because we actually were loud.
No, they didn't. Well, the crowd was loud. Initially, I couldn't tell because the crowd was pretty loud, but as the game went on, you could just...
People were like, why cheer? Like, why make noise? They're only going to convert. And I think that was part of it. I kind of felt like there, even at its loudest moments, it wasn't very loud.
I thought it was pretty loud for a while.
Okay.
I thought the crowd was definitely ready for the game.
Yeah, in the beginning, especially with the kickoff. But by halftime.
I don't know, even during, I mean,
it almost felt like everybody was just kind of like, ugh, here we go.
Well, you know why? Because this was our fourth loss in a row. We do not have that confidence we've had in years past. So, you know, I think everybody was kind of like, oh no, this isn't going to wind up very well.
Yeah, I'm not going to put as much energy into yelling
right.
If it's
yeah.
not going to pay off.
Yeah, seriously. So, I mean, sad but true. But
mm-hmm. Couldn't tell you how many people around me were on their phones for the third, fourth quarter. Like, they weren't even watching the game anymore.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, it happened throughout every game nowadays.
That's because you sit in the rich section.
That's true.
Oh, the snobbies.
That's true. One thing I'm going to throw out there is the defense did play better, right? They bend but don't break.
Yeah, but Atlanta's offense is good.
Atlanta's offense is good. It's not like they're...
They have the ninth-ranked offense in the league. I mean, yeah.
Right, their defense...
But you know what? But it's
admirable.
In my opinion, hold on. In my opinion, it's so hard when you're playing a rival. And it's so funny, you know, rivals in this league where everybody bounces around teams. You know, there still are huge rivalries. Atlanta, New Orleans, Dallas and Washington, Dallas and New York. When these teams get together, rankings and positions really don't mean shit. Everybody seems to be playing a little bit harder when you get these rivals together.
Not the Saints offense.
Right, I mean, that should go.
But no, my point was, all right, the defense, all right, over the course of the year, the defense was so bad that they would let up touchdowns, right?
How bad were they?
They would let up touchdowns, which then would somehow give the offense maybe better field position than they started with. Yeah, this Sunday, yesterday. And maybe this whole bend but don't break problem here was the offense. We couldn't even get into field goal position. Or even when we did, we'd find ourselves knocked back out of it or something. But I'm joking, of course, but it's like this bend but don't break. No, I'd rather just go ahead and let them score, or let them kick a field goal so we can get better field position and maybe the offense could actually put some points on the board. Because we lost the battle of field position yesterday as well. I mean, nothing went right. Nothing went right. They beat us on every level.
Fucking Falcons, man.
And what's worse is the fans that were around us in the Richie Rich section. They were actually pretty gracious. None of them taunted. They didn't do anything bad. And
they're too good for taunting.
Their butlers taunt for them.
Right.
It's Christmas Eve and I've only got two fucking presents. It's Christmas Eve and I've only got two fucking presents. And I hate you because I hate you guys. And I'll never talk to you again. Unless your daddy sucks me, I'll never talk to you again. Unless your mama touch my car, I'll never talk to you again. It's
so, we were the last ones to leave the section. Like, I just kind of sat, you know, when the time went out, I just kind of sat there. It's kind of in shock. Mike's up there, just shocked.
How did he take it?
Just couldn't believe that we got swept by the Falcons. We were there so long, the ushers finally came and said, hey, we need to leave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For those of you who think about it, Jason is referring to is the Twitter guy at Fuck the Falcons.
And just sitting there realizing it's going to be, 8 months until I'm back in that seat?
Yeah. It is definitely always a downer at the end of the year.
I remember how excited y'all were to get back in those seats in the summer. Mm-hmm. It feels like just yesterday.
Oh, I wish it was.
No, I don't.
I wouldn't want to relive what happened.
Right, I definitely don't want to relive what happened.
Wait till the next one comes around.
So that was just, tough pill to swallow, really. I mean, think five straight games that I've walked out of that stadium a loser. David would say all eight, but,
you
know.
You opened yourself up.
I know, right? I called myself, I was like, well, let me say it before he does.
And you're a little slow on the uptake tonight. You missed that one.
Well, he does have a number.
I do. Yeah. I just poured myself.
That's what he said. He poured.
I just poured myself some grog.
Yeah.
I just poured myself a solo cup full of rum chata.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just going all out.
Maybe the number is slowing you down, Damon. You're not as quick-witted. All right, anything left on game recap before we move on?
No, there's nothing to be said except thank God the season's over. That's the only thing. I went into the game Sunday saying, look, there's a silver lining to both outcomes. And actually, look, I'd rather it happen the way it did. Just kill this season. Just kill it.
Yeah.
Kill it. Make it ugly so that there will be changes. God forbid we'd have beat Atlanta and then beat Tampa Bay, and now we have a lower draft pick, and maybe the coaches don't really evaluate as hard as they should have. But the way this season turned out, the good thing is there will be wholesale changes to this roster, and that will be better than if we'd have limped into the playoff and maybe, you know.
And still lost. That's that's the
well, maybe we could have, drawn, I don't know. A Cardinals team that we could have beat.
Nope. Still wouldn't have beat them. We couldn't beat an Atlanta team. Okay, Cardinals earned their spot in the playoffs. We couldn't beat a team that's not going to earn their spot in the playoffs.
Well, and here's another thing, too. My $50 bet on the Saints to win the Super Bowl that was placed, I believe it was placed either Friday or Saturday. My dad's in Vegas, so I said, screw it, why not? Saints 35-1, $50 bet win the Super Bowl. It lasted about a day. I got to enjoy the hype for a day, and then nope.
Hey, it's better than if you were at the craps table. You would have lost that in about 10 minutes. I mean, and I'd say losing is better, too, because if you think about it, whatever NFC South team does make the playoffs, the rest of the NFL, the professional football world, is going to hate that team. There's going to be a lot of hate.
Who cares? Fuck the rest of the world.
No, hold on. There's a lot of people that are going to direct a lot of anger and hate speech toward that team and about that team. And fortunately, that's not going to be the Saints this year. At least we can sit back. You know, that, if that's going to be Atlanta, Carolina, everybody's going to be like, fuck you. You don't deserve to be here.
Well, look, like I just said, look, I hope Atlanta gets in. Maybe they'll keep Mike Smith another year. Okay.
That's the real silver lining.
Look, fellas. Look, we, you know, Atlanta.
He beat us twice this year.
Hey, that's an anomaly. It happened one time, and you know, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about that becoming the thing. Yeah, maybe they keep him next year, and again, they're a 6-7-5 win team next year. So that would be hilarious.
Yeah, look, if they win the division and then host Arizona with whatever godly quarterback they're going to trot out there, sure, Atlanta could beat them. That's what we should hope for.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's really, you would think it'd be tough to fire a guy who won you a playoff game.
Yeah, well, Atlanta would just be stupid enough to do it.
Or smart enough to not do it.
All right, ready to move on?
Yeah. Bye-bye, Dome, for 2014. Was not enjoyable.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Tweets from the Twitter thing. Okay, our first tweet coming from Glenn Fitz at Glenn2722. Asking, is it too early to call Stanley Jean-Baptiste a bust? Has he even played all season? Special teams even?
No, yeah, it's definitely too early to call Baptiste a bust, and I'll tell you why. Look, he was drafted knowing that he was a project player. They did not expect him to start last year. They knew he was rough around the edges. So it's no surprise that he hasn't played. It's not a...
Corey White is rough around the edges.
No, Corey White sucks.
Corey White has no edges.
Right, that's the thing. Like, as bad as everything got this year, that guy never saw the field.
Well, it's... You can't
I
call him
where he's Glenn's coming up with the question.
I mean, look, if you view it as, you know, the Saints were going all in this year, then it was a mistake on their part to draft a project.
Sure, 100%
correct. That's what they were going to. But you can't call him a bust because you can look back and look at Devery, look at Stinchcomb, like guys who were second-round picks, didn't play at all the first year, people were ready to label bust, and ended up being productive members on the team for several seasons. So you can't...
Sometimes it's better to not play that first year.
Well, no. Not really. I mean, I guess you could lose your confidence, but...
But not I mean, if it's expected, not if it's... Look, dude.
But he's gonna have to come back next year. I mean, he's going to have to play next year. There's if the same thing happens next year, then yeah, you can call him a bust.
Well, look, I had said it earlier in the year. This front office, we made some mistakes this year. We made some mistakes. We went places where we shouldn't, like Jeff just said, drafting project players, drafting or signing Bird, in my opinion, was a we weren't that good. That's all we needed. We could have used some offensive lineman help. I know there's something that I had talked about earlier in the season about being like the Patriots. And I know Jason was all, oh, well, they haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years. The Patriots have the best record in the NFL.
Right now.
Right now. And the number one seed going to the playoffs.
And where are the Saints?
The Saints will be home for Christmas.
Just saying.
Yeah.
There's no point after that, right?
No. The only point is that goes to what I said earlier about the people listening to me and not Jason when you speak, because I have a much better football knowledge than Jason.
You just sat through more games in the Superdome than I have.
Well, and again, I don't argue that I wouldn't. When I say I'd like to be like the Patriots, you know, I don't say no, I wouldn't.
He must have had a high number that night.
It's easier when you're sober and you can get, you know, because I choose to drink, you know, I'm going to make some crazy comments here and there.
No, but hey, guess what? We wouldn't be
talking. Part of the deal.
Wouldn't be talking about it if that didn't
right.
happen.
Right.
All right, next tweet. Near, at NearShaw9, good friend of the show. Says, fortunately, he came to one of the all the way across the ocean is it?
Pacific. Atlantic. No, Atlantic.
The Atlantic. He came all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to see. Fortunately, the one of the few games the Saints actually performed well in, the Green Bay game.
That was our last home win, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe
good,
it's Near's fault.
Maybe Near needs to get his ass down here more often.
All right, so anyway, he's asking, everybody asks this question every year. Should we intentionally tank our next game for a higher draft pick?
And we give the same answer every year. As fans, of course, I'm going to say yes.
Right.
But as players and coaches, that's not even in the realm of possibility.
Right. These players are now, at this point, they're playing for their jobs, you know.
100%.
The good news is our offensive line is bad enough, it's almost like they're playing to lose. like if Peyton trots out Goodwin again, in my eyes, Peyton's trying to lose.
Right. The good news, Near, is that we're going to go out and try to win, but we won't. So we'll still get the draft pick. All right. Our next one is from Michael Wheelahan at Wheels 034. Says, current conspiracy theory, headbutting between front office and coaches, resulting in sticking with Goodwin and not Jean-Baptiste. Now, I mean, I'm sure those two are mutually exclusive, but just based, I think maybe the conspiracy theory is that there's problems between the front office and the coaching staff, and that's contributing to problems.
I've never heard anybody even suggest such a thing.
He did preface it with current conspiracy theory.
Right.
I think both Peyton and Loomis were on the same page. Unfortunately, it was the wrong page.
Right. Look, like everybody else, they thought we were better than we were. Come on, folks. Let's not forget, 17 weeks ago, we were a very popular pick for the Super Bowl from all the analysts. So the coaches,
the one thing I could draw from
the same
that.
Way.
Yeah, the one thing I could draw from that might be something. Could it be that because Loomis is pulling double duty with the Pelicans and the Saints?
No.
Did he?
Wait, hold on. I don't know exactly how much he does with the Pelicans, but in my eyes, he shouldn't have any position with Pelicans whatsoever.
But he does. And does that take his full attention away from the Saints, which leads to poor decision-making?
No. Look.
We all agree he made poor decisions.
Right. But what I believe, after, you know, reading everything in the paper, the position he has
in the paper,
in the newspaper.
No.
What's a newspaper?
The position he had with the Pelicans is more of a business general manager.
But he shouldn't have anything to do with the Pelicans.
No,
he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have anything to do with them whatsoever.
Yes,
no,
yes,
no, you're the Saints NFL GM. That is your job.
Right.
That is your job. You shouldn't have to deal with anything else
To be the GM of a professional football team.
Like, you know what? That's your job.
Are you telling me that you need a fucking night job? You need a fucking something on the side? No.
Again, I doubt how much the Pelicans.
It doesn't matter how much.
It doesn't matter. It shouldn't be anything.
No,
it shouldn't be anything.
Sure, it should.
No!
If you have a good GM, you want that good GM and that good front office you have.
How about this? I want my good GM to remain in the sport that he is a good GM at.
You spread yourself too thin.
Look, Mickey Loomis, hold on. I do not think that Mickey Loomis is a player talent evaluating GM. Some GMs are. Some GMs, they choose the players and they give them to the coaches. I do not believe that's how the Saints are set up. You know, Mickey is the business side, the numbers. Make sure this is signed.
CFO.
Right. Exactly. Right. Even though they do have their own CFO. But right. But exactly. I mean, that's
the CEO.
That's what Mickey is with the Saints. He's not a talent evaluator. I'm going to get this. I'm going to build this team. I believe that comes from Sean Payton and the coaching staff. You know, Sean says, I like this guy, and this guy. Who can you get me? How are our numbers? Who can you get?
He started making bad decisions when he started pulling double duty.
No, we've been making bad decisions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've been making bad decisions since 2010. You know, so don't, no.
Or even before that, we still drafted. You know, we still traded up to draft Cedric Ellis.
Right, and P-Rob. No. Bad decisions aren't unique to 2012, 13, and 14.
So he's a gambler.
You know, no.
But every team, I mean, no. I would like to know our success rate, fail rate on draft picks versus any other team, and I would imagine that we're probably run of the mill, you know, average along with everybody else. I mean,
sure, exactly. We just
focus on a few.
We know the Saints, so that's why we bitch. Yeah, right. I mean, there's 32 first round draft picks. You might have a handful that are poof. You're lucky if you have a handful
right.
that are Pro Bowlers.
Right. You say Cedric Ellis, I say Brandon Cooks this year doesn't get hurt. Who knows? Because he sure was doing pretty well before he got hurt.
And you could tell they were starting to incorporate him a little better too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure. No, I think Cooks was a very good pick. I think Vaccaro had a sophomore slump and was asked to do different things than he was the year before. But I think he's a very good pick.
I think he started playing better after they had that little talk with him.
It did seem that.
So
like that.
All right, let's move on to the next tweet though. You forgot we were in tweets from two of the thing, didn't you? All right, this one coming from Neil. We talked about Neil a little bit earlier. Or maybe not. We talked about Neil. All right, this one coming from Neil at Neil McLaughlin. My daughter started teething pain on Sunday. Coincidence or not? So... I'm sure him, Neil, having to watch the game on top of that is compounded worse.
Have we ever figured out what time does Neil and Neil have to watch the game on Sundays?
I believe they are 6 hours ahead of us.
Okay, so every game is a prime time game for them. Good for them. Every game is a Sunday night game. Okay.
Yeah. 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Yeah, so they're now think about it though. We had 5 primetime games, so they were watched 5 times this year. They had to watch the Saints at like 1-2 in the morning.
That's interesting. I wonder if they stay up to watch them.
Yes, they did because they tweet throughout the process.
Throughout the game. Goodness gracious, good for them.
Dedicated. All right, next segment. I don't know if you have a music for this one, Jason, because we haven't done it enough. But this one is Message Board Mayhem.
Dead. Someday you'll be dead. Dead. Someday we'll all be dead. The minute we're born, we start dying. We die a little more every day. young or old, rich or poor, there's nothing we can do to stop it. So look long at that Christmas tree, it may be the last one that you see. Decorate your house in green and red, 'cause someday you'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Someday you'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Someday we'll all be dead.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is a good
this thing's coming back?
Yes, it's back.
Okay.
Okay, this is somebody, I don't know who, I don't know, and I don't care. Something I read as a comment on an article. Of course, it doesn't matter what the article.
Those are like the dregs of society.
Yeah, but it's still worth it.
Is it really, though?
This one's entertaining. If I bring it on the show, it's good.
Oh, okay.
All right, so this is what this person says. I'm not saying Peyton needs to go.
But.
I'm saying, but, right? I'm saying he really needs to look at what happened this season and make some personal changes to his game. In the NFL, teams constantly study each other's habits and plan against them. Arrogance has led to Peyton not willing to adapt his style. For the better part of two seasons, he has lost his creativity. Also, they need to cut bait on this golf club training camp bullshit. We need the old-fashioned Millsaps training camps to establish toughness and bonding of position groups. Finally, cut some of these overpaid players who have underperformed. I'm talking about Lofton, Hawthorne, Perilous. I don't know what Perilous means. Bunkley.
Harrelson. You really? You don't know Paris Harrelson?
I mean, I figured that's who he meant, but he wrote Perilous, and I wanted to make sure that his error was recognized. Bunkley, Evans, Meacham. Restructure Colston, Grubbs, replace the special teams coach. So a little bit of, I mean, this one is not kind of, this one's not out of the realm of, or out of the spectrum of what we've kind of talked about. It kind of sums up our season, I think, rather accurately.
Well, there's going to be a lot of changes coming, and we're going to have a whole off season.
But speak to the Peyton arrogance, predictability.
No, again, the only fault I would give him.
With the last 5 weeks.
Well,
what's up with that?
Well, we've talked about it before. His loyalty to aging veterans, that's something he definitely did not have in 6, 7, 8, 9. Our linebackers are shit. Is that. Perhaps a new linebackers coach would be nice, but we all know we're not getting rid of Joe Vitt. That's not even on the radar. So I'm not sure. I don't think it's arrogance by the coach. I'm not. But like something that we had said earlier in the year, not having that scat back this year probably hurt. Breeze didn't have that quick check down. No, I'm sure. Look, they ran, you know. They put other players in there to run it.
Why didn't they try to use Cadet there?
I don't know.
Cadet's not that good.
I mean, right.
He's better than what they used.
No, I don't think he is.
No one.
Look,
Cadet, didn't have the right guy.
Look, right. Cadet isn't Reggie Bush or Darren Sproul. I think that
still
hurt.
Better than nobody.
I think that hurt this offense this year. You know, not having that scat back, quick dump off player. The offensive line playing like complete shit.
That's it right there in a nutshell.
That definitely hurts, you know. I mean, that definitely.
That's it. I mean, it really all. Think about
I mean, really, that's it. Think about it. We're used to having a top five offensive line, and we probably have a bottom five, bottom ten right now.
A good offensive line makes Alex Smith a great quarterback. You know, I mean, that's all it is.
I mean, simple as that. You can't when you can't sustain drives against the worst defense in the league, Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah,
I mean, that's it.
Because you're hurried up. You don't have time to let your plays develop. Your quarterback's rushed. He's throwing shit.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't matter if you like you said earlier tonight, Damon. Doesn't matter if you're Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You get think about when the Saints in 2009. What did when we benched Tom Brady in the game? Why? Because we got pressure on him.
Yeah, yeah. You ever know you never quote Jason what he says? You ever notice that? Why do you do that, Jeff?
I don't know. I'm sure I quote Jason sometimes. I quoted Jason last week, but I ascribed it to Damon.
Right. Fucker.
Well, you did.
All right. But that was Message Board Mayhem anyway. I thought that was worth reading because I think somebody summed it all up.
And look, you know, message boards, they're everybody in the world. They're open to everybody. And
any idiot can join.
Right, right. Kind of like a blogger. Any idiot can, you know, be a blogger.
Kind of like our podcast.
Any idiot can have a podcast, too.
Any idiot can have a podcast. 100%. But you're right. Look, the message boards have been just the stupidest fucking, just blaming everything from Peyton's girlfriend. You know, he was just worried about a hot piece of ass, so that's why he had a bad seat. I mean, just, yeah, you know, fire Peyton. Get rid of him.
Well.
We have the smartest fans down here.
But that's everybody. That's everybody, every fan, everywhere. You know, people are hurt. People are.
Drew Brees tweeted a picture of him today doing a gingerbread house at the Ritz-Carlton. He posted on Facebook a picture of him and his kids building a gingerbread house on.
That's why we're losing right there. Drew Brees had his head up somebody's ass and not fucking focusing on football.
Right, right. And some fan got on there and ripped him, saying, like, you need to get your priorities straight. This is why we lost. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting, that's kind of what helped me get over this loss. It's like, I was pissed off and I want to yell and bitch and scream. And here's our quarterback. I don't care if he's good or bad, but your quarterback he's doing something with his kids the week of Christmas. And some asshole comes up and tells him, you need to put my fandom in your priorities ahead of your children. Fuck you. Fuck that, man. You know what? This is a game. We're fans, yes. Do I think Drew Brees doesn't give all he can give to try and win a game? No, of course that man does. If we have anybody who's a model of determination and preparation, it's him.
Exactly.
His lackluster performance this season is not his fault. It's the offensive line's fault. And I was watching this stupid asshole, like we said, everybody's got an opinion. They're talking about how Drew Brees, is he done with the Saints? They should part ways, move on. And they're trying to make the case that Drew Brees is done. It's Drew Brees is over. He's past his prime, blah, blah, blah. And they posted up, he's got 69.6 completion percent. A 70% completion rate. That's good, actually, last I checked.
Yeah, no, that's still one of the best. He was still...
Yeah, 4,671 yards, 32 touchdowns this year. But he's terrible, and it's time for the Saints to find someone else.
Yeah, I mean...
Now, one stat that's killing him is 14 interceptions. But again, that's not Drew Brees' fault. That's the offensive line.
Some of them are still his fault, but the line is a big part of that.
The line's accountable for at least three-fourths of those.
A lot of these message boards and people who say stupid shit like, you know, get rid of Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Winning... The Saints have a lot more fans in 2014 than we did in 2008. And there's a lot of bandwagon fans. They really are. You know, winning will get you those. Right. Right. Well, you know what? And I'm not going to miss them when they leave.
It'll be curious to see how much our numbers drop on the podcast of listeners.
Right. I don't even know if those kind of fans, those kind of bandwagon fans, even put that much effort into listening to a podcast.
Fuck no. Fuck no. You know,
if you are listening, congratulations, you're a great fan. If you're not listening, fuck you.
That's right. Saints only have a couple of hundred good fans. A couple of thousand good fans.
Right. But you see, I'm not worried about the ones who aren't listening.
Exactly.
They're not going to hear you anyway.
That's right. And if you came back 2 weeks later and listened, then hey, welcome back.
Hark, hear the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, ding dong, um, kite. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is their song, with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising their sound. Oh, here and there, telling their tale. Gaily they ring while
people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 without end. Their joyful tone to every home. Dark, hear the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, ding dong and clang. On, on they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. Ding dong, ding dong.
All right. The last thing I'm going to read before we move on to other things is, Jason, you have shared something that you thought, well, we ought to read, posted today on saintswin.com. Funny URL. Anyway, saintswin.com. Do you want to read the whole thing, or?
I mean, it basically lists everything that went wrong this season, starting with.
But the best thing was how it opens. It's the 2014 Saint season was screwed when, dot, dot, dot. Jairus Byrd signed the largest ever contract for an NFL safety and then had back surgery. The Saints checked into flowery wallpapered rooms in West Virginia. I'm not going
to
read them.
Yeah. We don't need to read them all. Just go to go to saintswin.com.
Wait, hold on, but wait. I'm going to read some. Champ Bailey didn't make the team. I agree. That, what the fuck on that one? Junior Gallette was named captain of the defense. Let's see. Grandpa Sean, they referenced that one. Colston fumbled in overtime in week one.
Third down siren. You got the Joker siren. Final, Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a bunch of funny stuff. Just very poignant.
Well,
yeah, after a loss like yesterday.
You know, and I mean, that one does bring up a good point about Champ Bailey not making the team. Hindsight being 50-50.
Jordan. Cam Newton. I get those two mixed up all the time.
Well, I mean, how many times have we bitched that we went into the season with only one cornerback? Again, that was a bad. I'm curious on how much that was a bad personnel, you know, talent evaluation decision, or if it was a cap saving move position, or, you know, what it was.
I mean, I don't know. To me, you could. I mean, I don't know what comparable corners would have been even on the market.
Well, no, I will say right here, right now, Champ Bailey is better than Corey White. Champ Bailey is better than P. Roblem.
Right. Even in his old age.
Even today, after not playing for the last 10 months, he's still better than Corey White and P. Roblem. The only thing, and
Tyron Frederick has been better than Corey White and P. Robinson.
Right.
He just came in off the street 2 weeks ago.
Right, this guy was packing groceries a couple of weeks ago. Again, the only thing, and I had mentioned it before, was maybe they were worried about Bailey's health. You know, maybe they didn't think because of his age that he would have.
Oh, God forbid one of our secondaries get hurt.
Well. I mean, look.
They all got hurt. All right. Okay. Let's move on. Let's get out of this. Let's move on. Yeah, we're
don't patrol checkpoint.
Okay.
All right.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying
damn it.
Jeez. When Damon's ready for a checkpoint, you know something's up.
Yeah, you go first.
I will stick with a... I'm going to stick with a 2.
All right. You call it for a Dome Patrol checkpoint because me and Damon are getting a little...
Exactly. Yeah. I got to call it because y'all forget to call it, so I figure I may as well get it.
I think I started the show at a 3.5. I basically drank a whole bottle of rum chata.
Good God.
It was delicious, but it really doesn't have a kick to it. I had all 8 of my ponies. So,
hey, it's Christmas. Call them reindeer.
Right. I had all 8 of my reindeers. I don't know. I mean, I'd say I'm a six, you know, five and a half, six.
Wow.
You know, it's not like, look, it's not like I drank a fifth of rum, you know, I mean.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah, the rum chata tastes delicious, but it just doesn't really have the kick that you need.
Should have spiked it.
Yeah.
You should add rum to the rum chata.
Well, and it's so delicious. Rum chata. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't had rum chata, I suggest yourself to...
Oh, I got to tell you, I went to the River Shack the other day. I go there for lunch at least once a month. Anyway, right on the corner when you walk in, they have a bottle of rum chata. And every day I walk in, I'm like, oh, I should just have a shot during lunch. But I don't because I'm with my staff.
Do they not keep it cool?
No, they don't.
Well, then shame on them.
I'll tell them next time I go. I'm a regular. Okay. My number.
Yeah, right. Don't forget that. That was the whole point.
I want to say, would I say I started at a three?
Three.
Yeah, right. I must be at least a five minimum.
Okay.
I'm just giving basement numbers.
Shame.
Okay, moving on. All right, let's move on to Pick'em.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about your truck!
Pick'ems.
Perfect timing for Jason to take over the show, because Jeff's getting a high number.
Big week in old Pick'ems over here. Damon, oh man, Damon, you're close to being out of it. You went 1-4 this week, so you now sit at 38. Oof. 38-39. Which actually doesn't seem that bad.
Oh, did the Denver game end?
Yeah, Cincinnati won. So, Jeff, you were the only one that...
Excellent.
Originally, I took Cincinnati and I switched to be different, you know.
Yep, you see what you get.
That's all right. You still only went 2-3 this week.
I'm the only one out of everyone that picked Cincinnati. Woo-hoo.
So you are 42-35. I went 4-1 this week. So I caught up two games. I am also at 42-35.
So I'm still ahead of you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
We're tied.
But I'm ahead of you because I won the...
No, that doesn't matter. We're tied.
I won the head-to-head.
What head-to-head?
Yeah.
Exactly.
A shot in the sorcery.
Pardon me?
I said I've never even heard of something like that.
For those of you listeners, that was an inside joke between Jeff and Jason. All right, so I saved my best for last, coming in tying you in week 16. Now, this is a reminder, we do have week 17, and we also include the playoff game. So the season's not over yet, still got a handful of weeks, still got multiple games.
Wait, real quick, did you have Damon at 38-39 or
38-38?
38-39. Okay, as did I.
All right. So, a couple...
Just wanted to remind him of that.
A couple of games with playoff implications on the line. A lot of it's just kind of seeding. But did find some nice handful of games. So we're going to go ahead and start with the big game in the AFC. The San Diego Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. Chargers coming off a stunning come-from-behind win against San Francisco on one of those Thursday night football on Saturday night games. Kansas City coming off a loss. They're really limping in the finish line. Apparently, both teams can still make the playoffs. I think if San Diego wins, I think they're definitely in.
Right. I believe so.
Kansas City can win, but then would need a lot of help. Mm-hmm. Like, would need Baltimore to lose, would need Houston to lose to Jacksonville, and I don't see that happening. So, this game is in Kansas City. Chiefs had a pretty decent home field advantage, a lot better than the Superdome this year. And Kansas City is actually favored by 2.5.
Really?
I was a little surprised to see that number.
I think I'm going to take San Diego. It's at Kansas City, though. Shit.
Kansas City still has not thrown a touchdown to a wide receiver at all this season. For whatever that's worth.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, that's Alex Smith, but, you know, he could sure as hell beat Roman Harper in a playoff game.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with San Diego.
I'm going to go with Kansas City. San Diego just seems like this Jekyll and Hyde team. I just think, I don't know what I'm going to get from them each week.
Yeah, I'm probably basing mine off of their moxie and their comeback against San Francisco. Maybe they have it in them, maybe they don't, but the fact that they're getting 2.5, you know what I mean?
And Damon, you cannot pick Rum Chata to win this week.
Well,
I was about to say, did we lose Damon? He's in quiet.
I know, right? Like, did he hit his mute button again?
No, I'm here. Who you took, Jason?
I took Kansas City.
Damon's been looking at porn for the last 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I took San Diego.
And it's at home, correct? Is Kansas City at home?
Yes.
I'll take KC.
You do know they're giving up 2.5, right?
Yeah, that's not really a lot, exactly.
More like Kansas shitty.
All right, our next game. A battle for the NFC North Division. The winner of this game wins the division, and I believe, well, I think they can get a bye. I don't know if Dallas can still get a bye. I think Dallas can still get a bye, but somebody's going to lose. But either way.
You can still get a bye.
Either way, winner wins the division, gets a home playoff game. The loser is going to be a wild card team, but both teams have clinched playoff spots. It is the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay coming off a win. Not really a strong win. Only put up, 20 points in Tampa, but did manage to get away with the win. Detroit, what did Detroit do this week? Did they win?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What's the spread?
Either way, this game is at Green Bay. Relax, guy. Shut the fuck up.
No, I know.
Green Bay is favored by 7.5. Detroit has not beaten the Packers in Green Bay since, I believe, 1991.
Ooh, by the way, Detroit beat Chicago 20-14.
Barely. Right. Barely. So both teams didn't look that great last week.
Yeah.
This is an easy one. Take the pack.
What was the spread again?
7.5.
Doesn't matter.
Green Bay's giving up 7.5?
Yeah. I'm only going to take Green Bay because I don't think Detroit is really that good at all.
That would be a good reason to take Green Bay.
I am with you guys. Green Bay in Green Bay. And, Green Bay might end up being my lock for the Super Bowl.
Oh, jeez.
No, they're never close.
No.
That's the Patriots.
No, not to win.
I don't think so.
My NFC representative.
Pick to win? If they got to go to Seattle, you think it would beat Seattle?
It depends which.
They got destroyed by the Saints in the Superdome.
I was going to say, it depends which Green Bay team shows up.
Oh. All right, well, let's move on to the next game, which is another massive game in the AFC. I believe the winner could possibly get a bye. Depending on what happens. The battle for the AFC North this time. The Cincinnati Bengals coming off a win at home against Peyton Manning tonight, who threw 4 fucking interceptions tonight. Old Peyton. At the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh coming off another win. They seem to be rolling a little bit right now. Good run game going. Roethlisberger's thrown all over the place. Antonio Brown's one of the best receivers in the league, if not the best this year. And this game is in Pittsburgh, and the Steelers are favored by 3.
I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh. Division rivals won't really bother Pittsburgh much being in that shitty stadium in Cincinnati.
I think I'm going to take Pittsburgh also. Pittsburgh, I think, is my Super Bowl pick.
Well, are you high?
No.
Pittsburgh's your Super Bowl pick.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to pick the Patriots, Damon.
Right, I'm not going to suck off Bill Belichick like you do.
Just proving my point again and again. While people.
Okay. Hey, look, in 4 weeks when we come back, you know, if you'd have listened to me, you might have won some money. Pick Pittsburgh.
I'm taking Pittsburgh in this game, and it's funny you did say that they're your Super Bowl pick because there was a moment today where I was like, you know what, Pittsburgh's coming on strong at the right time.
Look, man, they can score. They can make big plays. Their defense isn't what it was, but they can still stop some teams.
It's not what it used to be.
Right, right. Man, okay, all right. Our next game, another game for a division. We got three straight divisional contests here. Unfortunately, I'd much rather this stadium just blow up. It is the Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons.
Ooh.
Yeah. NFC South division title on the line.
By the way, Damon, we got a tweet last week about your comments during the show, and I think it bears repeating. Best line maybe of the year was you talking about the Falcons and you saying, I hope their grass dies. And it's so true. And I want to add to that. I hope everyone who plays in this game, Carolina at Atlanta, I hope their houses catch on fire while they're playing the game and they have to go home to burnt ashes. Not as bad as grass dying.
So anyway, the Falcons are favored by 3.5 in the circus tent.
Wow. Fuck those motherfuckers.
I mean, it's like, man, I don't know.
Honestly, I'm going to take Carolina in this one. I think they woke up when they played against the Saints. And
I think Atlanta wins the game, but I can't in good conscience pick them to win a game. I just can't.
Look, I'll
take Carolina.
I'll take Atlanta for the only reason that I don't want Carolina to be the first team to win back-to-back.
Division. Oh, yeah, in the NFC South, ever.
Yeah, yeah, so I'm pulling, you know, I'm pulling against Carolina.
I like how you couldn't bring yourself to say I'm pulling for Atlanta. All right.
Ooh, all right. And now our shitty game of the week.
Oh, Tannenbaum, weil Dreh und Schild ein Blatt. Oh, Tannenbaum, weil Dreh und Schild ein Blatt. Du grüßt nie, nur uns Sommer sein, dein Nacken Winter, wenn es schneit. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum,
which, man, you'd have thought the previous game was the shitty game of the week. No, no. This is the shitty game of the week. We're actually going to stay in the division here. The New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes, that's right, folks. The Saints have made the shitty game of the week. Teams playing for
nothing
right now.
And look, this is what separates us from Shitlanda fans.
We're objective enough to put ourselves in the shitty game of the week?
Yes. We can call them like we see them, and we're honest. We're not like a shit team that has done nothing, or a quarterback who has done nothing, and think that because our division rival were so great and we're Super Bowl champions, that we deserve that fucking title. No, Atlanta, you are shit. Matt Ryan is shit. Mike Smith is shit. Your stadium is shit. Your new stadium will be shit. You went from a circus tent to a toilet bowl. Congratulations.
And your sprinkler system is shit.
And your grass is shit. So, yeah, in Tampa Bay, somehow the Saints are favored by 3.5.
Well, because Tampa Bay is even shittier. Yeah, look, I'll take our Saints to win a meaningless game in Tampa Bay and cost us a stress spot or two.
I'm on the fence. This is a tough one, and it's going to lead a little peek into game preview.
I mean, is it possible that they just come out flat and don't give a shit? I mean, I'll be curious to see how they come out next week.
Yeah, I'm going to take... Wait, Damon, you took Tampa Bay or you took the Saints?
I took the Saints.
Okay, I'm taking Tampa. No, no, no. I'm taking the Saints. That's stupid.
Pussy.
No, it's just stupid. I mean, Tampa, I mean, as bad as the Saints are.
Hey, you say that, but have you seen the last couple of weeks? I mean,
I know, but it's...
We did give up 43 points to Carolina.
I think they feel, oh, God, this is tough. It's just, how do you expect a team that doesn't respond to shit to respond? It's like, does this loss wake them up and they're like, no, you know what, guys?
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, season's over. I mean, they can, I'd like to think they're going to come out, play hard, but just because they can play hard doesn't mean they're any good.
I know.
The offensive line's still bad.
I still think the Saints win this game. I mean, by 3.5.
It's what we want to see. You know, it's like we want to believe it, but oof.
Gotta believe we're better than that. If we're not, then I will gladly take the loss.
Oh. I mean, I'm going to take the Saints also, but I don't know. It's going to be weird watching the game. Like, I'm going to have the game on, but it's not... Like, am I going to allow myself to get mad during the game? I mean, I don't know. Like, I've kind of, like, washed away. I'm like, I'm almost relieved that the season's...
It's kind of like a preseason game.
Basically over. Like, it was just... It was
like a preseason game.
Just up and down, up and down. 1 week, oh, we suck, it's over. Next week, hey, we're back in it, we got this. Like, just the emotions, I just can't take it anymore. It's been so mentally draining this whole season.
I think that's why a lot of people are almost. Yesterday it hurt, but I got over it quicker than I think I would have gotten over a lot of other games.
Well, because it's almost like, I mean, we've prepared ourselves to know, like, look, one slip up and then that's it. And that's what they've kind of done, and yet we've come back and won games on the road. But at least, I mean, we could see it coming that. You know, we did not expect, well, we're not Super Bowl ready. We can't. Even if we make the playoffs, we'd have no faith. And, you know, so we didn't have the expectation of being like, a true Super Bowl contender. You didn't have the heartbreak because you knew, you know, we had a limit. We had a ceiling.
Well, that ceiling right.
stopped short of the playoffs, apparently.
All right. Ready for our next segment?
Well, we were kind of in the segment, right?
Saints preview?
Oh, yeah.
Saints preview.
Down in the workshop, all the elves were making toys for the good Gentile girls and the good Gentile boys. When the boss busted in, nearly scared him half to death. Had a rifle in his hands and cheap whiskey on his breath. From his beard to his boots, he was covered with ammo. Like a big, fat, drunk, disgruntled Yuletide Rambo. And he smiled as he said, with a twinkle in his eye, Merry Christmas to all, now you're all gonna die. The night Santa went crazy. Well, the workshop is gone now. He decided to bum it everywhere you'll find.
All right, so yeah, as we talked about in your shitty game segment, Saints head out to Tampa to finish out a season of irrelevancy.
Let's hope nobody gets struck by lightning. I think people got struck by lightning at the Tampa game yesterday.
They did.
So, what?
Yeah.
Really? That? What happened?
People got struck by lightning.
Wow.
A giant bolt of electricity came down from the sky.
Thanks for that report, Ollie. All right, so, not that we care, but...
What's it going to look like?
What's your prediction? What do you think? How do you...
I guess he's going to trot out Goodwin again, right?
Why not?
I mean, why change... You know, it's going to be his last game. We're not going to bring him back next year.
Good God, I hope not.
That's when you know something's majorly wrong if they bring him back. But I can't imagine.
Funny is even the three of us, were so, gotta get Goodwin back during the offseason. Remember that?
It's not that we got to get him back. We knew we were going to sign him. We were just
and
waiting.
And we wanted it.
Yeah, no doubt. We did. No doubt.
For depth. I mean, we wanted it because in case Falters. No, it was in case De La Puente falters, we got a guy that we have faith
don't
that could
come in. Don't be Skip Bayless. We wanted it. Admit it. You wanted him. It's okay. I wanted him, but once I saw what he was, I'm like, oh.
Buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, once you saw he was done. But
right, there was no way that any of us, I'm not saying that signing him was a mistake. I mean, there's no way we could have known that.
Right, but as the season went on, when you saw what you had, to not make the change 5 weeks ago, that's the mistake.
That's right. Signing him was a mistake.
Right. So,
keeping him will be a bigger mistake.
I can't imagine we're going to bring him back. Just can't see that.
And that's why they will play him.
So yeah, they'll play him, they'll play Nubs, they'll play Evans. I mean, I'm sure they'll all suck again. I mean, if they can make Atlanta's defensive line looks good, and what are they going to do to Tampa?
Because it's Jekyll and Hyde. It's off 1 week, on one next week. Off 1 week, on the next week. So by the law of the way that they've been playing, they will be on next week and will have a great game.
And I guess if you're looking for a win, Tampa does have something to play for. I believe, as of now, they'd have the number one overall pick.
So they have something not to play for.
Oh, yeah, right. So they should be trying to tank. I mean, I know it's hard to say, tell a player, you know, don't play to win, but it's in their best interest to lose. So that's one thing, I guess, going in our favor.
Yeah, I mean, look, these are two, like you said, these are two shitty games. Two shitty people, or two shitty teams that really have nothing to play for. I don't, you know, what you get from either of these teams. And I'm sorry, I know they say, oh, they played to the end, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, no, trust me, these guys are checked out also. You know, don't get me, they had to. The season's over. I'm sure they want to get this season behind them just as much as we do. So.
They want to be at the Ritz-Carlton making gingerbread houses.
Yeah.
It's Christmas time, baby. Drew's like, man, if I can't beat Tampa, fuck me, I'm going to make some gingerbread houses.
Look at that gingerbread house, man. That thing is huge.
So, yeah, we'll see what the weather's like, who plays, who gets a lot of snaps. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, obviously, I think word came out, we are playing the starters, but you almost just, I mean, why play Breeze? Why risk any kind of injury?
True that. Oh,
but,
my God. Can I change my pick'em?
Nope. Set in stone. Already locked it away in the vault. Can't change.
If they don't play Breeze, imagine that.
Well, no. They are playing him, but how long they play him, that's anybody's guess.
I wouldn't play him at all.
I mean, who knows?
That's just stupid to play him. Well, unless there's something to do with a contract and financial incentive.
I don't think so, no. But you know, he's a competitive guy. He's going to want to play, obviously. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting game to watch. Haven't really been a game like this with nothing on the line in a while. I mean, I know we had 2012, but at that point, I think we all knew fairly early on, you know, the game's nothing to play for. But, you know, going all the way back to that last game in 08, there's just nothing on the line, really. It's going to be a little weird feeling. I'm not used to it.
I mean,
no, it's going to be strange. Santa Claus is on his way. He's loaded goodies on his sleigh. Jump him up on Christmas Day, and I'll say, howdy ho! Mr. Hanky, shh, I'll get in trouble. Folks will gather around the fire, sing a song, and they'll be quiet, pretty soon they'll all return. I'll say, howdy ho!
Kyle, what are you doing in there?
Nothing.
Open that door.
Kyle.
So anyway, so that, I mean, look, that's really all your preview. I mean, can Cam Jordan get at least one tackle this week?
Fuck him.
Can Mark Ingram go over 1,000 yards? I think he's still a little short, maybe.
Well, what's his season total?
Well, no, I mean, he didn't get a lot last week. There were no holes. I mean,
yeah, like
that's with the shitty offensive line, there's going to be no holes for him. I mean, it's going to have to be all, you know, all him.
He's going to need 93 yards to reach 1,000.
So if he breaks 100, he'll get to his 1,000.
Right. That's how that works, yes.
I guess that's something to shoot for,
right? 93, and he breaks 100. He will have 1,000.
And I have no doubt that Sean Payton will try to get it for him.
And that's why he's not going to get it, because Tampa Bay's also going to be like, oh, we know this asshole's going to do this. Predictable motherfucker.
Yeah, well, I don't. Hey, look, try to get it for him. What the hell? Like we've said multiple times, that's the best thing to happen Sunday was the season's over. I can look forward to the college bowl season and playoffs and start watching Sports Center and place, you know, things like that to watch the NFL playoffs. So,
yeah, at least we'll have enough buffer time in between to, like, kind of get over the Saints season being over and can maybe watch the playoffs. I mean, it's not going to be the same, but at least it's not like the immediate Saints losing the playoffs. I don't want anything to do with football for like the next 2 weeks.
Right, exactly, right. It wasn't like 2010 and 11, you know.
Or even 06. I mean, 06, I barely watched the Super Bowl in 06.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. 6, 10, and 11, I have no clue who won the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't remember the games. I did not watch the games that year.
Yeah, it was brutal.
No, so.
That's a good point. You know, what's most interesting is, as shitty as our offensive line is, we may actually have a 1,000-yard rusher.
And as of now, Breeze is leading the league in passing yardage. I mean, it's yardage, but, you know, there's been a lot of garbage time yardage this year, too.
Aaron Brooks did a lot of things, too. So Breeze can suck his 4,671 yards. I mean, if Mark Ingram rushes for 100 and Bree throws for 400, then you got a 1,000-yard rusher and a 5,000-yard passer with the worst offensive line in Saints history.
Fucking right. Fucking right.
Imagine how good we'd be if we had a line.
That would be something. That's all it is. We need the offensive line. We have to address that this offseason. And we have to address that second cornerback.
And Jean-Baptiste better fucking...
Well, I don't think he... I mean, look, like I said, he's a project. I don't see him coming in, considering he hasn't even stepped on the field. I don't see him coming in being your starter next year.
Then why'd you draft him?
He's a project.
Yeah, we kind of fucked up.
Well, how long is your fucking project, Damon?
3 years.
Before he gets on the field?
Before he's a starter. I mean, come on, guy. Really, he doesn't make it on the field this year, and you have some kind of hope that he could be a starter next year?
Well, at least a nickel guy next year.
Maybe a nickel guy. Maybe a nickel. A dime. I don't know. But he's not the guy you put opposite of Keenan Lewis. You know, look, it's funny. We've said, ever since Jabari Greer went down.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been horrific.
That it has, no doubt.
It's hard to replace great guys. That's the thing. You know, not everybody gets the Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck transition.
Well, that was a fucking gift in the mouth right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Score predictions for Tampa.
I don't know. 27-10, Saints.
I will go 42-7, Saints.
Oof. Why not, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow, 400-yard passer and a 100-yard rusher.
It's at least 5 touchdowns, right?
Right.
I will go 17-3 Tampa. No, I'm kidding. Saints.
Low-scoring affair.
Mm-hmm. I don't have confidence in the offense anymore.
Yeah, hard to argue, really.
All right, final thoughts, Damon. You get to go first this week.
Oh, let me try not to repeat myself. Look, the off season is here, if not officially, definitely unofficially. Here's what I want to say. This is a good time to say it. And it kind of started already. You fucking idiots that start with this mock draft fucking shit.
Oh, my God.
You mock draft assholes. Go fuck yourself. You are the biggest idiots in sports. You know nothing about what the Saints are going to do. You know nothing about football. Please stop talking or typing to hear your fucking own head rattle, because it's boring. You're boring. You're terrible. This is not time for a mock draft. You want to do a mock draft? Do it a week before the fucking
draft.
Draft, yeah. I don't need to sit here for 4 fucking months and everybody redevise your mock draft every fucking week. That's just incredibly stupid. You are incredibly stupid. You're a boring person.
What a pathetic life you must live if that's
exactly. I feel sorry for anybody who's around you, who knows you. Their life must be horrible for knowing you. For knowing you, their life is worse off. Go get a hobby. Work with blind kids, lepers. Do something with yourself. Do not make a mock draft.
Have they really started already?
Of course they have.
Jesus. The
world is doomed.
Yeah. All right. Jason, final thoughts?
I'm relieved that I don't have to worry about this season anymore. I mean, I still would have preferred going to the playoffs and getting to experience playoff football again, and even if we lose, I would have still rather that to lose the way we did. But at least now I can move on, and I'm not stuck waiting for it to finish before moving on. It's just kind of like a weight's been lifted. So, look, they got a lot of things to do in the off season. A lot of changes are going to be made. I mean, look, we made a lot of changes last year, too. We just didn't make all the right ones. So, clearly, for whatever reason, this season was just, I don't know. This is probably the worst season under Peyton.
Mm-hmm. Record-wise, depending if we win or lose, it could be the worst or definitely tied for the worst.
Yeah, but just, you know, didn't... I mean, 07 was disappointing coming off the high of 06, but it was almost expected to take some kind of step back. But to come out like this year, we didn't expect the fall so soon. Like, I think we all knew it was going to come eventually. We just... And that was kind of the shocking thing. Like, I just wasn't ready for it yet. No. I wasn't ready to see Evans be done.
Well, again, hold on. I mean, I think some of this should go within next week.
Okay. But that's just, yeah. Basically, I'm, yeah. So that's, sorry to get ahead of myself. We'll have a.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, this is a.
But look, hey, you know what, people? Go out and enjoy your weekends now.
Definitely. I mean, that, you know, may I add to my final thoughts? I wish everybody a Merry Christmas. With your family and your friends, go out and celebrate. Be safe. You probably won't hear us. I don't know. Will they hear us again before New Year's? But have a very happy New Year.
They might, Rabbit. They might.
It's a
weekly show, baby.
Right. Look, man. You know, we're 8 days, 9 days, 10 days away from 2015, and we can put 2014 behind us where it belongs. And if you do a mock draft in these days, you're still a fucking idiot.
Okay. Anything left? Jason, that was it?
That's it.
All right. I don't have any final thoughts. All I've got is to close the show, because that's all we have for you right now, folks. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dope Patrol podcast. Check us out on Facebook. .com/Dome Patrol Podcast, where we share videos of things we find while editing the show. We're also on Twitter @Dome Patrol Pod. God damn it. We're also on Twitter @Dome Patrol PCast. So if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old fashioned way of listening to our show. And thanks, Nier, for giving us a review on iTunes. But there's the old fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Can you tell I'm a little drunk?
You say Domo Patrol?
I said Dome Patrol Podcast. I don't know.
.com.
Say bye-bye, doggies.
Bye-bye, Dome Keys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation, and Merry Christmas.
Jingle, jingle, jingle. Merry Christmas to everyone except Falcons fans.
The years we all were later, Mr. Hanky.
Goodbye, everybody.